Another joyful convention abroad. As Soviet control of Eastern Europe diminished, people began to enjoy an increasing amount of freedom. In fact, about 200 Estonian brothers and sisters were granted visas to attend the Pure Language District Convention in Helsinki, Finland, in June 1990. When the Estonian delegates stepped off the boats that had brought them to Finland, the Finnish brothers at the port burst into thunderous applause, which lasted about a half an hour. Non-witnesses were curious about what was going on and wanted to know who the celebrities were. What a turnabout! Our humble brothers, who had been mistreated by the Soviet authorities for decades, were being welcomed like Olympic champions. How thrilled the Estonian brothers were to listen to part of the program in Estonian and to receive some new releases in their mother tongue. When we held an Estonian brochure in our hands for the first time, said one old-timer, it was like holding a precious jewel. The Estonian delegates were even more thrilled by a stirring announcement made during the final talk. The speaker said that the governing body had given approval for a semi-monthly four-color Estonian watchtower to be published simultaneously with the English edition, starting in January 1991. The ecstatic audience stood up and broke into prolonged applause. Then, as silence fell after the applause, someone in the audience asked, "Will there be just one magazine for each study group as there was before? Or will each individual receive a personal copy?" The answer that everyone would get a personal copy was too good to be true and triggered another round of appreciative applause. The Finland branch got busy printing the Estonian literature and also made the back issues from 1990 available. In addition to receiving spiritual help, the Estonian witnesses received and in turn distributed many shipments of humanitarian aid from their brothers in various countries, help that was badly needed in view of the state of the economy. The First Convention in Freedom. Jehovah's organization was quick to make use of the increasing religious freedom to arrange large district conventions throughout the Soviet Union. How excited the Estonian brothers were to host the first of the Lovers of Godly Freedom conventions on July 13 through 14, 1991, in Tallinn. This convention was particularly joyous for some of the older delegates. Why? Because the last time they had attended a convention in Estonia in freedom was in 1940. How thrilled they were now, over 50 years later, to assemble freely once again. The Russian-speaking brothers from the northwest of the Soviet Union, the Baltic countries, and Kaliningrad assembled in the Tallinn Linna Hall, or City Concert Hall. The adjacent Jaa Hall, or Ice Hall, seated almost 1,000 for the Estonian sessions, with a combined peak of 4,808 for both halls. With 447 baptized, it was certainly a time of great jubilation. Conventions such as this one did much to help new ones learn the truth. For example, Leonhard Nilsk's grandmother Amalie was attending the Adventist church but had doubts about their teachings. Leonhard encouraged her to determine the truth from the Bible. The turning point came for Amalie, though, when she attended the convention in Tallinn in 1991. After the first day, Amalie announced that she would never go back to her church again. What Leonhard had said had not been enough for Amalie. She simply had to see Jehovah's people for herself. She agreed to a Bible study and was later baptized. Dreams come true. Now that dark clouds of persecution and oppression no longer threatened Jehovah's servants, it was hard for some to believe that there truly was freedom of worship. One longtime elder, for example, had dreamed of the day when the book You Can Live Forever in Paradise on Earth would be available in Estonian. In 1991, this became the first of our books printed in Estonian in the new era of increased freedom. "Now that this book was in my hand," says the elder, "I could not believe it was true. When I introduced it at the meeting, it was hard to hold back the tears. For a moment, everyone was silent, as they could not believe their ears. Then came the cries of joy. Brothers were rejoicing and crying, all at the same time. It was the kind of moment that it is impossible to forget. Every time I think of it, I get tears in my eyes. Time and again, brothers felt like those who were dreaming. Psalm 126, 1 through 6. After decades of hardship, many were personally able to experience the happy outcome promised in God's Word. In due season we shall reap, if we do not tire out. Galatians 6:9. A joyful theocratic milestone. October 31st, 1991 is a date our brothers and sisters in Estonia will long remember. That was the date on which the first congregation of Jehovah's Witnesses was officially registered in Estonia. A time of great spiritual rebuilding was now at hand. There was so much interest in the good news, and people were openly expressing their interest in the Bible and religion. There were Bible studies to be conducted, as well as congregation meetings, circuit assemblies, and conventions to be organized. The translators needed adequate facilities to care for their growing workload. In the meantime, Gilead missionaries were starting to arrive, and suitable missionary homes had to be found. They needed help to solve visa problems and to obtain residence permits. The neutrality issue had to be resolved with government officials. Building permits were needed to build kingdom halls. Those years, recalls Reino Kesk, who served as a circuit overseer at the time, flew by as if they were only a few short months because of all the theocratic groundwork that had to be laid. It was also an extremely emotional time. People loved the truth and accepted it quickly. In every congregation, there were many who wanted to get baptized. Some interested ones who came to the convention not knowing much about Jehovah's Witnesses enjoyed the talks and immediately wanted to get baptized. There was so much to do to help them. When Estonia was under Soviet rule, the preaching work was supervised by the branch office in Germany. One of the secret channels of communication between Germany and Estonia was through the Finland branch. But with borders now open and free communication possible, in 1992, the oversight of the work in Estonia was assigned to the Finland branch. Very zealous and very eager. Because so many were making rapid progress, it was a challenge to keep track of the new ones who wanted to qualify as unbaptized publishers. For example, Tom Edur visited a little group on the morning of the memorial of Christ's death and was amazed at the large number that arrived to go out in the field service. "Do you know everybody here?" Tom asked the local brother. "Well, some aren't publishers," was the reply. So Tom went ahead with the meeting for field service and then announced, "Maybe afterward I can speak separately to any who are not yet publishers." About 10 Bible students presented themselves, explaining that they wanted to qualify to go out and preach. After Tom had discussed the basic qualifications for unbaptized publishers, three of the young women admitted that they had not yet resigned from their church. Tom explained that if they wanted to be identified with Jehovah's Witnesses, they needed to terminate their church membership. So they did. They immediately went to their former church, had their names removed from the registry, and then joined the others in the preaching work. One man present at the meeting for field service was still a smoker. It would take him some time to clean up his life, so he went home with the prospect of becoming a publisher at a later time. Now that the brothers could share in the preaching work without government restrictions, they were eager to use every opportunity to share the good news with as many people as possible. Some were so eager that they needed help to maintain a healthy spiritual balance. For example, when reviewing the baptism questions with a young candidate, Tom Edur asked him if the elders had ever given him any counsel. "Yes," said the young man, "the elders advised me to be a little more balanced in my use of time." "Oh, what was the problem?" asked Tom. "Well, as a result of spending 150 hours in field service every month," explained the young man, "I was neglecting other scriptural responsibilities. The elders suggested that if I put in 100 hours in the ministry, I could make time for personal study and preparation for the meetings. The following is from pages 236 and 237 of the printed edition. The field ministry was wonderful. Some missionaries share their observations about their assignment in Estonia. Marku and Serba Ketula.
The territory to which we were assigned was virtually untouched. The field service was amazing because people were very interested in the Bible. When we arrived in Porno, there were some 30 publishers. Now there are 3 congregations.
Vesa and Leena Maria Edvig.
There was hardly anything to buy in the stores, so rather than shopping, people had the time to talk about the Bible. When we did street work, people often lined up to get the literature.
Essa and Yael Nissinen.
There's a lot you can learn from other people. It has been a privilege to get to know many of those who remain faithful under the most severe tests.
Anne and Ilka Leinonen.
Day after day, week after week, territory after territory, we met people who had never heard the Bible's message. We worked from early morning until late in the evening and really enjoyed seeing the rapid increase. It was hard to believe that at the end of the 20th century, we would be privileged to see such an increase. We will never forget those early years.
Richard and Rachel Urgens.
The people were very hospitable, and the field ministry was wonderful. We went preaching in the villages along Lake Peipus. Never did we have to take along anything to eat, because the householders would invite us in and feed us. We saw that Jesus' instructions found at Matthew 10, 9, and 10 could be applied even in our day. Being in Estonia taught us the need to focus on the more important things and not to get distracted by side issues.
Returning to the account,